Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of marriage, divorce, and remarriage, I taught you about what is meant by a threefold cord. Let's pick up right there today.
Foundation for the Bible stands.
Now, this is in the law of the day, according to the Nuzi tablets. The first wife suddenly bears children, then her child becomes the heir and replaces the child that was born by the handmaid, even though it was the first child born and the handmaid was given that he might have an heir. So the Nuzi tablets show that Sarah was actually in the right on this. Until this happens, Abraham is expected to provide support for his surrogate wife and child. But now the first wife could send out both mother and child. And because that first child, that is Ishmael, is now teasing and tormenting little Isaac, because there's a good 10-year difference in their ages, now she wants him out of the way. Her son is now the heir, not the former, even though Ishmael, in some sense, was considered her son by proxy. Now, God told Abraham to go along with this. But what did God think of Ishmael in relationship to Abraham? Again, notice Genesis 22 and verse 1. And it came to pass, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. God views Isaac as Abraham's only son. The Nuzi laws were official for the land, but they did not change God's laws. So in God's sight, we see that only Isaac is Abraham's son. This other one is not the illegitimate one. The other one, Ishmael, is the illegitimate one because God had promised before Hagar that a son would come to Abraham through his wife, Sarah. You see, theirs problem was a lack of faith. Now, the same thing holds true today with gay marriage. The law of the land, again, now listen to this, the law of the land does not change God's laws. We mentioned this earlier, but Acts 5:29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. Now, we go back to our text in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. He said, Two are better than one. One is alone, not warm. Two have feet, but the clincher is this, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Where does a threefold cord come from? Because as we have studied through this thing and we've seen this thing, there was no mention of three. The marriage was two, becoming one. But now it's threefold. How in the world does that happen? How in the world all of a sudden, instead of two, is three or one? Well, we see that this is because Jesus Christ is the central cord of the marriage. So since Jesus Christ is the central cord, they must continue in that relationship. The home must be wrapped around Jesus Christ. It must honor him. The goal is not just to remain married, although that's part of the goal, but it is to reveal the relationship between Jesus Christ and the believer. Christ the head, the husband role. When the Bible says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, that's because your marriage is to be a picture of your relationship with Jesus Christ. And so you submit yourself to Christ. And when you won't submit yourself to your husband, then you're breaking a type of the relationship we're to have with Christ and the way we're to honor Christ. And husbands, if you don't love your wives and honor her, then you also break a type of our relationship with Christ, because Christ loves and honors us. He's not a hard drill instructor. He's a loving Savior. And so the believer is in submission. That is the wife role. But love is the characteristic of the relationship on both parts. Decide before you marry, you'll do it God's way. Now, I mentioned I've been married for 48 years to my wife, and that's true. But when I first met her, I was in a church on a Sunday night. I was about 18 years old. And I got up from my seat and left, walked across to the other side and talked to somebody. And I come back to get to my seat, and I'd asked my friend to save my seat, my buddy that I was sitting there with. I got back there. He didn't save my seat. I had to set it in a folding chair by their good, comfortable pew. But sitting by my friend is this beautiful girl who's just a knockout. And I leaned over and I said to him, I said, Mike, boy, I didn't know you had a date tonight. I wouldn't have sat here. I said, I don't know her. You don't know her? No, they just came in, her and her friend, and just sat down. They came in looking for a seat, and that was the only seat that was open. And I wasn't a good Christian at the time, because I just kept looking around Mike to see her. I thought she was the prettiest thing I'd ever seen. I asked her out. Our first date was that following Wednesday night in church. And, oh, boy, I tell you what, I just thought, wow, I want everybody to see me with such a pretty woman. Now, I asked her to go out because I said, well, you know what? If I don't ask her, I scared to death. I figured she'd say no. But I said, if I don't ask her, I'm already at no, so it can't get any worse than that. But if she says yes, boy, that's best. And so I asked her out. We went to church on Wednesday night together. Well, fast forward several months, and it's about a year later, and I had asked her to marry me. But before I asked her to marry me, I wanted to be sure that I wasn't wanting to marry her because she was so beautiful. And I'd be so proud for people to see me with her and to introduce her as my wife. No, I wanted people to see me and think, man, he must have something, that he could marry such a pretty, beautiful lady. But as it turned out, I just had to make sure that this is the person I wanted to be the mother of my children, the person who would stick with me through trials and troubles, that this would be the person who could help me to follow Christ. I spent an entire night. Now, it is in a broom closet, but the broom closet wasn't a little one. I would say at least 4 feet deep, you know, and maybe 2 feet to 3 feet wide. And so it was a good-sized broom closet. But I spent that entire night in a broom closet till about 6 that morning praying until I was sure whether or not God wanted me to marry her. Once I had that assurance, that was great. We proceeded with the plans, got engaged, and then we got married down the road a little bit later in June of 1969. Now, I say all of that to say, men and women, always seek God's will before you get married. Make sure you're marrying the right one. Now, I'm not going to go into this, but in Ezra chapter 10, verses 10 through 17, it tells the story of how some men had married strange wives of the land, that is, unbelievers and people who were not Jews. And they are told by Ezra that they are to put away these wives. And now again, understand, Ezra, the prophet of God, is speaking under the direction of the Holy Spirit of God. So you might wonder, well, isn't that contradictory? That God's Spirit would tell him to put those wives away? No, it's not. You say, well, why not? Because they just added them to the wives they already had. Now, you ladies at home, your husband come home and said, look, I just married two more, and we need to find a room for them. Well, that'd be the last words you probably said. But God wants them to put away because he didn't view them as married, although the laws of the land had allowed it. God's law is supreme. Look, American laws, laws of other countries may change, but God's law is the one that's supreme, and he's the one that gives everlasting life, not the laws of men. So again, they were having two or more wives at once, and he says, no, you get rid of those. You get them out of there. We don't want that. Now, the next passage we're going to look at is Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 22 through 29. If a man be found lying with a woman married to an husband, then they shall both of them die, both the man that lay with the woman and the woman. So shalt thou put away evil from Israel. Now, here's something that you need to notice. He said, if they be found, if a man be found lying with a woman. Actually, what he's saying here, they actually seen it. And if they did see it, they reported and the death penalty would be carried out.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.